Separate seal proposals for the requirements set forth below will be received in the cashier's office of the Cleveland Metropolitan School District, located at 1111 Superior Avenue East in Cleveland, Ohio 44114, until 1 o'clock p.m. current local time on May 27, 2022. Mailing of ITB responses are encouraged. However, hand deliveries will only be accepted from 12 o'clock p.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. on May 27, 2022. PPE is required to be worn for entrance to and while in the building. This RFP will not be opened publicly. Copies of instructions to proposers, specifications, and drawings may be obtained directly from the district's webpage. You will go to clevelandmetroschools.org/purchasing and click on the RFP number. If you require assistance, please email salitha.thompson@clevelandmetroschools.org. A pre-proposal conference is being held May 5th, 2022 via Zoom. Attendance at the conference is encouraged but not mandatory. All questions and correspondence related to this RFP must be submitted in writing only by 12 o'clock p.m. on May 16th, 2022 at the email address given above. All answers to corresponding questions and concerns will be sent directly to those submitting the question. A comprehensive question and answer list will also be posted at Cleveland Metro Schools, at clevelandmetroschools.org/purchasing. Any errors and or omissions reported will be addressed by an addendum. An addendum will be issued no later than May 20th, 2022. No proposal may be withdrawn for at least 90 days after the deadline for submittal. The Cleveland Metropolitan School District reserves the right to reject any and all proposals, to waive any and all informalities or irregularities, and to disregard all non-conforming responsive conditional proposals. The Cleveland Metropolitan School District does not discriminate in educational programs, activities, or employment on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, or disability. The new uniform grant guidance, 2 CFR 200, went into effect for the Cleveland Metropolitan School District on July 1st, 2018, and will apply to awards or funding increments issued on or after this date. Purchases funded by federal grant funds must adhere to regulations found in UGG Super Circular 2 CFR 200 as a condition of receiving funds and to meet annual audit compliance. In an effort to keep policy for all grants consistent, the Cleveland Metropolitan School District has implemented the new federal guidelines regarding procurement utilized with federal grant funds. Proposals on this work shall be required to comply with all applicable requirements pertaining to fair labor, state, and local government. What I'd like to do is to introduce the department, have the departments to introduce themselves that has the RFP out. What I'd like to do is start with the Academic Resources Department. You can start with Ms. Cox.
Okay, good morning. I'm Jacqueline Cox. I am the Project Manager, Academic Resources. We are the department who has put out the RFP on behalf of the academics department. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, I'm Diana Ellard. I also work with the academic resources department. And Salitha, there was a quick question before we get started. Members of the team want to know if they will be sent what you just read to all of us.
Yes, that's the actual RFP that I read. I read the notice of the request for proposals. Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so, and Jonathan Dowell said that he cannot hear us. So just two comments that just popped up.
Okay.
I'll message with Jonathan and see if I can help.
Thank you, Alex. Okay, Alex, did you want to introduce yourself? Or is he contacting?
Sure, I can. Hi, I'm Alex Leslie, manager of Out of School Time Partnerships.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Is Ms. Lockhart by chance on the call?
No, she is not, but I think Leo is.
Okay, perfect. All right. If you know these representatives from the departments that have spoken, Please do not reach out to them with any questions as it relates to this RFP. All questions are to be directed to me, salitha.thompson@clevelandmetroschools.org. Again, please do not reach out to the department with any questions that you have as it regards to this RFP. The RFP again is due on May 27th, 2022. Proposals that are submitted should include all proposal forms, any district required forms, the cost proposal form that is a part thereof that describes your products or services as well. Again, the last day for questions will be on May 16th, 2022 at 12 o'clock p.m. An addenda will be issued no later than May 20th, 2022. And what I'd like to do now is to have a member of the academic resources team, either Ms. Ellard or Ms. Cox, to describe what they are looking for vendors to respond to, and Mr. Leslie as well, after Ms. Ellard or Ms. Cox. Thank you.
Okay. Jackie, did you want me to explain or did you want to start? It's up to you.
Diana, you can go first.
Okay. And then I'll turn things over to Mr. Leslie. So from an academic resource standpoint, we're just looking for a variety of things that involve both services and goods. From a resource perspective, anything that's supplemental, that's aligned to all the core curriculum areas and the arts, and technology, online intervention supports. We're also looking for tutoring services. We know there's some really good online tutoring programs out there. From a purchase service perspective, looking for those of you who are able to provide professional development, not only in core areas, but also including like social emotional learning, family and community engagement, or coaching, being able to send coaches into our buildings, coaching our principals, coaching our teachers, to provide them supports. I know we have a huge achievement gap that was a result of the pandemic. So we are looking at coaching and instructional supports at the classroom level that'll help us close the achievement gap. We have level one and level nine. We have two periods during the school day where our schools are seeking out people to come in and provide enrichment opportunities during the school day for our students. We do have a lot of funding that's coming in from the federal and state government to help us support students in all areas, but really with an intensive support on interventions and closing the achievement gap. I think our needs are very similar to what Alex wants for OST, but I'll turn it over to him to explain what his specific needs are for our out-of-school time vendors.
Yes, you're right on, Diana, that our needs align on so much of what we would like to see for our scholars. And I believe CEO Gordon said it best, that our students didn't lose the ability to learn, they just lost time. And so for us trying to give them as much time as possible in buildings with supportive partners, we've been working with partners. And what, if you've seen this RFP, you may be wondering, hey, I've been working with the district over the past couple of years. Why this change? But this is actually an important return to practice. There was exemptions to having to go through an RFP process during the pandemic, but as that recedes, we are returning to this practice. So I think everybody who has joined us and is interested and would like to provide services to our scholars. I had a quick question, Salitha. You had mentioned that that we're recording. I usually get a little notification that says recording. Can I just confirm that it's recording for sure?
Yes, it is.
Awesome, thank you so much. But thank you all and thanks for bearing with us, and I'll turn things back over to you, Ms. Thompson.
at this particular time, what I like to do is open it up for questions as it relates to the RFP. So that everyone doesn't speak at one time, if you're able to put the raise hand icon up so that I can recognize you at that time.
Salitha, did you want me to read questions to you first that are in the chat, and then you can call on people that are raising their hands, or how would you like to do? Because you have some questions in the chat that are coming through also.
If you like to start with the chat first, that can be fine. And then I will move forward with the participants that have their hand raised, please.
Perfect. I have, do vendors need to list the district as an additional insured if they are providing materials and are not on site? I'm not sure exactly what they're asking here. Do vendors need to list a district as an additional insured? Oh, I see. If they are providing materials and are not on site. So I think what they're saying is they are insured. Do they have to list us as being insured also if they're providing services like at a church or a community center?
Yes, they do.
They do. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We need to be listed. There are insurance requirements are a part of the RFP, and you do need to list the district as an additional insured.
Perfect. Do books for the library and classroom in print and digital fit into the scope of this RFP? I believe it does. In the past, it has. Right, Salitha?
That would be, I believe it has as well. And that would be a response from you, Jackie, or Alex.
Yes, that's correct.
That's correct. Okay. I think I agree. The RFP language says, in quotations, purchases funded by federal grant funds must adhere to regulations found in Uniform Guidance, Super Circular 2 CFR 200 UGG, as a condition of receiving funds and to meet annual audit compliance. Can you confirm that this language applies to the school district as the grantee of the federal award and not to vendors of the school district, and that contracts under this solicitation would be treated as vendors?
Okay, yes. You as a recipient of these dollars will be required, if necessary, if we are audited and we reach out to you for documentation, you will have to provide the information requested, because you are being funded under grant dollars. So that would apply to you.
And I wanted to say something also for clarification purposes. This question was brought up for our out-of-school time vendors during the school year. Some of our out-of-school time vendors use our dollars, but then they subcontract with other organizations, such as if they're offering yoga or dance. It is your responsibility to manage all of that documentation. You can't pay any vendor unless they provide the service first. And our auditors may reach out to you for that documentation. But it's your responsibility to keep track of your own subcontractors. The next question, page 9 through 12 of the RFP lists a set of sections with details and questions to answer. However, page 60 provides another format for the sections with slightly different headers and a technical proposal section. Can you clarify how you would like the RFP formatted and if vendors should follow formatting on page 9 or on page 60, since both are similar? So Salitha, I think the question here, I think she may be on another call. Hold on.
I'm looking through now. Thank you.
Oh, you're looking through now. Okay. As you go through that, we'll go to the next question. Must cost proposals be in the format of the RFP, or can they be submitted as attachments? Jackie, do you know the answer to that one, or wait for Salitha?
We can wait for Salitha, but I believe you have to follow the RFP format. That's how it was in the past, unless they change.
Okay, we'll wait, Salitha. We'll give you an opportunity. We'll answer. We have two questions pending.
We'll give you as to the proposal setup, requirement setup. I'll get that clarified.
And on it'll
come out as a part of an addendum.
Okay.
So if you can make note of that.
All right.
Because there are two separate, they're a little bit different, but the setup is the same. We still will require that it be put in by tabs. I know, and then there's a couple sections that are a little bit different, but all documentation is needed. So I'll get clarification on that and get it out in an addendum.
Perfect. Is that for question two? Must cost proposals be in the format of the RFP or can they be submitted as attachments?
The department previously requested that you submit the information on the cost proposal forms. Okay. However, if there is not enough room, you can add attachments thereof to go with it.
Perfect. Salitha, is the diversity business goal a mandatory requirement?
The district would like for you, if at all possible, to have diversity business programs. There are a couple of people that are participants that have their mic on. If you can mute yourself, I'd appreciate it. Okay. We do have the diversity business program. So if you are able to partner with a diversity business enterprise, please do so on this particular project.
Okay. Should vendors provide the pricing narrative within the layout described on page 9, or should the cost form and narrative be a separate attachment?
The cost proposal form is a separate form in itself, which starts on page 68. So when you are submitting your cost proposal, it should be as outlined in pages 68 and 69. If there is additional room that's needed, you can type it on a separate sheet, or you can duplicate the form and just numerate it as the next page, page 2, and any other page numbers that you need.
Okay. Can you speak more on the relationships vendors should have with minority businesses as part of this proposal? What if the vendor is already minority run?
If the vendors are minority run, there is a section, the diversity business enterprise section, that is a part of the response. Please mark that you are a minority vendor. Therefore, there's no need for you to reach out to another minority vendor on this particular project.
Thank you. Can you please describe the ITB versus the hand delivery window options?
That question, I'm not sure. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, if you want to write down that question, or Jackie or Salith, then what we can do for those that we can't answer, we'll send an email out with a response.
Can you repeat that question for me, Diana? Sure.
Can you please describe the ITB versus the hand delivery window options?
The hand delivery window option basically is for vendors that are local that would like to hand deliver their responses to the district by that particular, on that date. Just to notify them that hand deliveries are only accepted in our welcome center from 12 o'clock p.m. to 1 o'clock p.m.
Perfect.
Local, you can mail your response. Just make sure that when it is mailed, that we do receive it by 1 o'clock p.m. All responses are time stamped. Any response that is not received by 1 o'clock p.m. will not be opened and will therefore not be accepted for this RFP.
Thank you. Is programming required to be at the school if we have an offsite space? I can address that one. And if you'd like to step in, Alex, it's entirely up to the school that you're working with or the central office staff that you're working with. We are open to providing supports both on-site, and we've also provided supports off-site. So we've done a combination of the two. Alex, I don't know if you want to chime in on that one.
Yeah, I guess we are currently funding folks who are providing services in school. However, I think we're open to whatever folks do that in their realm of expertise. Think of this RFP as sort of the door that you must walk through in order to be a vendor of the school district. It's not a guarantee of funds. However, if you describe, and I know the person Ken asking this question, they have a site that has participated in programming before. That doesn't mean, let's say, who we currently fund may change based on the needs of the students that we identify. So I think you should accurately describe what you're able to provide, and that will help you walk through the door.
Next question, are the services for out of school the same or similar as for in school, such as coaching, PD, and interventions? We offer coaching, PD, and interventions before, during the school day, after school, and over the summer. So it depends on, once again, who you're working with, but we're open to all. I'll turn that over to Alex. I don't know if you have anything to add for that one.
No, but I think we missed a couple.
Oh, I missed a couple of them?
The one after that is one of a performance bond required.
The services. I didn't see the, that's not on my, I don't have that one on.
Okay.
My. Go ahead.
Sherry Sandlin.
Oh, that's coming after my, comes right after the question I just asked.
I see. Okay. I must.
So the question I asked, are the services for out of school the same or similar as for in school, such as coaching, PD, and interventions? So Salith, I'm assuming they could, when they apply, we could use those services at any point during the day, weekend, or summer, correct?
That is correct.
Right. You're not pigeonholed. Okay. So Alex, correct me if I'm wrong. My next question, is there a performance bond required?
Yeah, I think that one went right to you, Diana. That's why I understand.
Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did. You're correct. Thank you.
No performance bond is required for this project.
Perfect. If we are a vendor with the Ohio Department of Education as a tutoring service, can we apply? Yes, definitely. That's not a problem. We select vendors from the ODE list quite often. So yes, definitely you can apply. If we are submitting product and services, what is the total DBE participation rate? Page 34. I don't have it in front of me to see what's on page 34.
It is 15%.
15%. Thank you. Are you planning on awarding to more than one vendor? Definitely, yes. Definitely. We work with several vendors. Just to make sure I am understanding correctly, vendors are considered grantees for this proposal, correct? Grantees?
No, you are not grantees.
No.
What you are is you're applying to provide products or services to the district. You will be a regular vendor awarded based on those products or services that have been selected in your particular area. So no, you are not grantees.
Correct.
You'll be paid from the district. However, if the district is receiving grant funds in order to run these products or buy the products and or your services, and we are audited, we may come to you to provide us with documentation. Also, whether it is grant funded or not, our auditing department does audit all departments of the district. And if you are a paid vendor, you can still be audited on your end, whether it is grant funded or our regular general fund dollars. Please note that. So please keep track of all invoices and payments received and the products and or services documentation that you provide to us.
I see that there are 30 more messages here. So maybe we could take the people whose hands are raised, Tish and Nancy, first. And then we'll go back to the chat. Okay.
All right.
No problem.
Go ahead, Letha.
Nancy London.
Yeah, I'm wondering on the RFP on page 60, And on page 63, there's something that's entitled the proposal requirements. And I'm wondering, do both apply, or why are there two different sections entitled proposal requirements?
What's on page 60 is the general information section requirements. On page 63 is what the department is asking you to provide, which is the organizational background and capacity, your theory of change, programs or project service descriptions, and their that point on.
Okay, so both are required.
Yes.
And I have another question, which is that for the DBE requirement, it refers to owners as though it's a business, but we're a nonprofit. So that we'd have to partner with DBE businesses.
If you are able to partner with a DBE business, that is wonderful. It just doesn't apply to really just larger companies. I mean, if you can work with a DBE vendor to provide services, that's great. It is not mandated that you utilize a DBE firm. We would just like for you to, if possible, in order to meet our goal, to partner with a firm. If no firm is available with your particular product or service area, that's fine as well. Next question, Tish Bowling.
Hi, thank you so much. My question is it permissible for us to offer professional development for parents or paraprofessionals, like offering a CDA program?
For our schools, yes, Leo's coming on for OST, that's on our questions here. That was our next question. I saw it's coming up. Yes, you can for us. Leo, you may have something you want to say for OST, but we're fine on brand for schools. That's a yes.
I'm trying to catch up to an earlier question regarding out of school time programming. Mm-hmm. Our intent for the programming that's happening through the partnership we have with Say Yes is for the programming to take place in the school after school. So it's in the school.
Is that for next year also, Leo?
Yes.
Yeah, but
Diana, you froze.
Oh, I froze. Did I freeze?
I heard you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying.
If you want to offer offsite, definitely, because it's a combination of academic resources and out of school time. So it is allowable at the district level.
Yeah, I appreciate the clarification, because what Leah's speaking about is our dedicated funding for out of school time.
Yes.
And this relates to the question about completing this RFP does not necessarily make someone a grantee. That grant pot of grant funds is for in school. However, anybody is welcome to respond to this RFP with their services, given what Diana just shared, that they may have a service that's offsite, and academic resources may consider that as an opportunity or a need arises.
Right. And to clarify grantees, a grantee is an organization that is getting a grant from another organization. So no, none of you will be grantees. We're not giving out grants. Mm-hmm. Leo, correct me if I'm wrong on that one.
Contracts, yes.
Contracts, not yes. Grants. None of you will be grantees. None of you will be. So.
Thank you, yeah.
Sure.
The district is the grantee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
we are. Sonia, I think. Did she speak up yet? Because I'll go on to the next question. Nope.
Sonia Patel.
Yeah, I have two questions. So one is, are these RFPs at a building level, or So what it would cost to implement in one building, and then, you know, because I wasn't sure, are schools picking and choosing what they would like? And then the second question is, if we already have relationships where we're providing in school and after school to certain buildings, can we earmark or can we put the proposal specific to those buildings to be able to do the program for next year?
No, I would not do that because okay. open it up for district. So no, you should not be just aligning the RFP to a building.
Got it. But the the cost of the program, do we, you know, are we costing it out to a building or is it costed out to the entire district?
So if your cost is $3,000 for one building, right?
Yep.
And you're estimating that you would like to work for 20 buildings next year. In your RFP, your cost would be $3,000 per building, and we will provide supports up to 20 buildings at a cost of $60,000.
Okay, so write it that way. Okay.
I'd write it up to what you're going to be able to accommodate. We have 106 buildings in Cleveland. So you can determine how many buildings you would like to accommodate. It's not guaranteed that you're going to, but definitely, yes. I hope I was clear on that. Anybody else have anything to add on that one? Nope.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, anybody else? Because I'm going to move on to the next question so we can get through these quickly. If we are submitting all K-12 programs as a language instruction company, do we refer to the overall focus of the company and the students we service, or do you need individual program submissions? What types of data and measurable outcomes are you requiring? I can talk about the data measurable outcomes we're requiring. We would like to see historical data from your organization if you worked in our schools, especially if you're working with literacy. How did you determine that you were effective and what does that data look like with closing the achievement gap we have in literacy? The first part, Felicita, I'm not sure how to respond to that one. Can you? Do you want me to reread it?
Please.
If we are submitting all K-12 programs as a language instruction company, do we refer to the overall focus of the company and the students we serve, or do you need individual program submissions? It would be overall, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
It would be overall. Also, data measurable. If you've worked with any other school districts across the state or country, you could also include that data in your RFP so we could see your success rate. Next question.
Maybe we answered it earlier, but there was one I felt like we missed from Craig Spielman. Is this RFP for core classroom educational materials as well as for CMSD schools?
Yes, it is.
I thought that might be an easy one, even if we had already.
It is, definitely. It's for materials too. Not so specifically services. Diana, following your statement about us contracting with the yoga instructor, do all those contracted partners we pay have to submit this proposal to CMSD and be approved as well, or is it enough for us? Nope, just for you. You have to manage it. You manage your own subcontractors. But once again, auditors may reach out to you. So you just want to make sure that your data is clean, that you keep track of enrollment, attendance, that the yoga company does, and that you don't pay anybody until services are provided. Although the adoptions are for 3 years, can one-year pricing be submitted or is three-year pricing required? Salitha, I would say three-year pricing, but am I accurate on that one?
That's correct.
Yeah, it has to be three-year pricing. You can't increase each year. Can the RFP be at the building level, price per building implementation, or does it need to be initiative across all buildings in the district?
This was Sonia's question from earlier. Yeah,
we answered that. Does FedEx count as a hand deliverer, or can a FedEx delivery be made outside of the noon to 1 p.m. window as long as it is before the deadline? Salitha?
Yes, FedEx deliveries can be delivered to the district. There's no restrictions on that. They will go to our mail room and ultimately to our cashier's office for time stamping. Just ensure that when you utilize FedEx, though, that your response does get to us prior to that 1 o'clock p.m. cutoff time. So it's not considered a hand delivery per se.
And what is the addendum number?
For what?
On this, let's see, Joshua Hollings said, what is the addendum number?
No addendums have been put out as of yet. So there is no addendum numbers at this particular time.
Perfect. Nonprofits are not allowed to be minority vendors. How do you want us to respond to the Section 11 requirement?
You would just mark your answer each of the pages. If you are not a minority vendor and you are not subcontracting to a minority vendor, you would just mark the forms NA, which is not applicable, and then move on.
Okay. Is online support and training appropriate for supplemental curriculum products? Yes. We are publishers of curriculum textbooks, print and online materials. Are you looking for PD only and workshop materials for teachers? No, already, yeah, everything, PD and materials, all. So you would want to include both. If we already have relationships with buildings, can we list specific? We already expressed, that's entirely up to you, but I would suggest that you expand that. If you only focus on one or two buildings and other principals want you to work with them, we're not going to be able to allow it. So you would want to expand your RFP. For vendors that plan to respond for multiple products, would you like one response per product or one response per vendor? Salitha, is it one per vendor, correct?
If you're using multiple products, you would list the multiple products that you are offering to us.
As one vendor. Yes. Is there a page limitation on requested proposals?
No, there is not.
Nope. All for out of school time programming, the program. Okay, Leo already addressed that. On page 67, there is this written note. Your organization will be held accountable to improving performance or CMSD metrics found on page 59. Identify at least one metric from the list and your expected growth targets. I don't see a list of metrics listed in the RFP on page 59. Where is it? That might be something we have to fix if it's not there. Well, Salitha's looking for that. Carla, you have a question.
Is that the list? I'll let Salitha answer officially, but on page 61, there is a specifications with a series of metrics on it. But I'll let Salitha confirm if I'm interpreting that right.
So it's on 61 rather than 59, Alex?
Yes.
All right. So Salitha, maybe if you could send an email to everyone just with clarification so they know to go to page 61. Thank you for finding that, Joy. Appreciate it. And Carla, go ahead. You have a question?
Yes, please. And it's probably been answered. Thank you for doing this. We're publisher of instructional materials, but we do not provide workshops for students. Mm-hmm. We only provide materials.
Correct.
Print and online licenses. And we only provide PD for instructional materials implementation.
Right.
We're
fine with that. You just submit your RFP. You don't have to provide professional development. If you just have materials, you submit your RFP based on the materials you have to offer us.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
You don't have to do PD at all if you don't want. If we are providing OST coordination services, are we submitting proposals for each school? We already answered that one. What is the selection criteria? Will vendors be asked for presentations? The selection criteria, I pulled together a team who serve on the out of school time, which will be Leo, Alex, and Carol Lockhart. And then I'll pull, and Jackie Cox will be on the team with me from Academic Resources. And I'll pull some of our executive directors from our curriculum team. And we spend several days reviewing your submissions. And we use a rubric. It's an evaluation tool. And we just set like a baseline. If you score at that baseline or above, then you will get a term agreement. But remember, getting a term agreement doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to utilize your services. You have to be selected by principals or central office. So I hope that answers your question.
Also, in addition to Ms. Ellert's response, the evaluation criteria is found on page 58. And it lists everything that you will be evaluated on. And it also lists the weighted criteria as well.
Thank you.
58 and 59.
Thanks, Letha. I appreciate it. Carla, did you have another question? Is your hand just up from before? Okay. On page five, you mentioned On page five, you mentioned state certification. Do you have examples of this?
On what page?
Five.
There is a form that's a part of the documents, which is probably, let me give you the correct information. Under the proposer qualification forms, make sure that that is completed in its entirety. And that's providing us with information that you can do business.
Okay. On page 31, number four states that we must receive approval of the district before making substitutions for any subcontractors listed in the notice. Our sales rep is an independent female contractor. If we change representatives, please verify we need district's approval. So, Salitha, something you'd have to answer.
If you change what now?
They're going to change. They have an independent female contractor, mm-hmm. and the RFP states that if they change their subcontractors listed in the RFP, they must get district approval. They're asking you to confirm that.
Yes.
Their sales rep is independent female.
Right. If we are utilizing that vendor as a part of your numbers and during the evaluation process of utilizing a minority vendor, then you would just let us know that you are getting an additional vendor or substituting the one that you had originally highlighted in your documents. So that would be correct.
Okay, next question, Salitha. Do we have an electronic version of the forms or do they have to create their own? They want something they can just type into.
No, we do not have the electronic version.
All right, so they create their own, correct?
As long as it's this, the forms are identical to what's in the packet, yes.
All right. What is the timeline for finding out if we are accepted as a vendor?
We are looking to get the contract effective as of July 1. So once the evaluation process has concluded, I will be notified by the department of who are the vendors they would like to have who they are selecting. An intent to award will go out to those particular vendors at that particular time. Once we have all contracts in place, those vendors that are not selected will get notification as well that they were not selected. So that can take anywhere from 30 to 60 days. But we would like to get contracts in place as of July 1, but it may be a little bit after July 1.
Okay. What is considered the Cleveland plan? I'll start. Maybe Leo may want to chime in. The Cleveland plan is a plan that was developed by our CEO and a team of community members and our senior leadership team. And it gets revised yearly. It really just lists the goals, strategies, and direction that we are moving in our district and what our focus is going to be for the next 3 to 5 years. You will find the Cleveland plan on the CMSD website, so that I would encourage all of you to go on the website and get a clear understanding of what we're looking at doing over the next 3 to 5 years, especially with our ESSER dollars. Leo, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, you hit it on the head. I think when they look at the website, get a clear understanding.
Go in and read it. So I want to clarify, because I'm confused a bit, we cannot provide OST programming offsite, but if we have other programming, we can provide that offsite. OST is a program within itself. It's a collaborative effort between our district and Say Yes. So you're absolutely correct. OST, out of school time, they are not allowing offsite for right now. I can't say that that's not going to change, but we also have schools that may want you to offer some programming offsite. So Leo, do you want to clarify that at all?
The only other thing I was going to add is OST is a term that a lot of providers use for any of the programming that they offer. And so that is also the terminology we are using for our specific initiative that Diana described in partnership with SAAS. So if you are not somebody who is expecting to provide services in the school based on that partnership or is not proposing to do that, but is simply using this RFP, sharing, this is what we do, that we have an offsite out of school time program that we have offered before prior to any contract opportunities, you're welcome to do that. And a building may opt to work with you, or I don't know, but all of this specific initiative that Diana alluded to, our partnership as a district with SAAS in buildings that have SAAS services is happening in buildings. Leo, anything you want to add to clarify?
Just to reiterate, the district has launched this past year after school programming in all of our schools. We're calling it out of school time programming. So for that specific initiative that we have in partnership with Say Yes, that is taking place in the school.
And just want to clarify something too. There are several initiatives that go on at one time. You're looking at 106 schools. So we have school improvement dollars. Principals have total autonomy to use those dollars, and they may have a totally separate initiative going on at the same time as OST is taking place. So yes, we are open to looking at what you have to offer offsite, especially if it's camp, like an offsite camp setting, or so please feel free to include that in your RFP. Salitha, this is a question for you, I guess, in the RFP. It says, if awarded, they must have liability insurance within 5 days. And then it also says that they must show they have liability at the time that they submit the proposal.
I can answer that.
Okay.
Both of those are correct. One, you must show that you meet our insurance requirements when you submit your RFP. When you are awarded, if you submit it in the beginning stages, that's fine. We see it. If you have us named as an additional insured at that particular time, that is fine. However, if you do not and you just show us that you meet the guidelines, that's fine. However, 5 days after you are awarded, you must show, if you have not done it previously, you must show us that you have the insurance and name the school district as an additional insured. So that's what those two statements are. Okay. Hope I was clear on that.
What is the estimated count of students and teachers per grade? So it's difficult because that fluctuates based on federal funding. I can tell you that our grade levels range between 2,500 to 3,000 students, I would really estimate on the high end. And if you're just looking at classroom teachers, we have 3,000 students. We range between 20 to 25 students per classroom. So divide that by 20. So we have about 150 to 200 teachers per grade level. So I would base it 150, 200 teachers, 3,000 students. Leo, I don't know if you have a better estimate. That's what we use.
In terms of students, I would go with 2,300 per grade band.
Per grade band, because I multiply that times 13 grades, and that comes out to 29,000 students. We have 37,000. So that's why I thought maybe 3,000.
You doing pre-K and K?
I didn't do pre-K and K, no. If I do pre-K and K, that'd bring me up. If I did pre-K and K, 3,000 times, let's say 14 grade levels, that'd bring me up to 42,000. Yeah, maybe about 2,800 then. For federal funding, most federal funding we do, most of the funding is K-12. It's up to you, between 2,500 to 3,000. Teachers, about 200 a grade level. If you put in specials, you'd be around 230. What is the estimate? Do we have access to the rubric? I think, Salitha, they do have the rubric, don't they? You said in the RFP, did you include it?
No, the actual rubric is not included. However, the evaluation as to how you will be selected is in the RFP.
Are they allowed to have access to the rubric?
No.
No. Will this recording be shared with participants?
We are going to try and get this released with the addenda.
Thank you for that.
Someone asked again. Go ahead, Alex.
No, I was just thank you for that. I appreciate that this will be shared. Thank you.
Several people have asked the same question. Should they submit a proposal for each school? No, don't do that. Estimate the number of schools you would like to work with, what you would charge per school, because there may be more than one principal. So you do one RFP and list all schools in the one RFP. Is there a total budget number you're working with for the RFP? No, there's not. The cost proposal sheet allows for the cost of a service, for example, $3,000, but it does not have a place to indicate how many buildings you have the capacity to provide, say 20. So Salitha, if they put a cost in, what they're going to charge per building and the number of buildings, where do they put that in the proposal?
There is, in the RFP, it asks for your breakdown, your program breakdown. You would just put it there if you need an additional sheet, just to attach an additional sheet.
Glenn.
Because what it's asking is your unit of measure and your cost and everything is, and it's per, so you can total it on this sheet or you can add an additional sheet.
I did want to add that many of our partners are used to writing and responding to RFPs like this as though they are grants. And I would like to remind people, this is an RFP to become a vendor. Again, using my analogy, this is the door that you have to walk through in order to go to become a contractor or to become, you have to become a vendor. You have to go through this door before you can do any subsequent steps. So I just want to remind folks of this. It's not necessarily treating this like you are responding to a typical grant. And I want people to be aware of that.
Glenn, you have a question?
Just a quick one.
I can't hear you.
You are fading.
The release date would be May 20th. Today's the 5th. That would give us, I'll put it in the chat.
Yeah, put it in the chat so we can hear you. Craig?
Yes, I was just going to ask for pricing. You mentioned 3-year pricing. Do you also want 1-year pricing included?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now this question is brought up a lot, and I know vendors feel frustrated. You'll feel frustrated with my response. Will we be putting out a list of those vendors that were selected? Yes, principals will be aware. Will these be the only products schools can use? No. Principals have full autonomy in the district. They can use these products. They'd have to go through a whole nother process though if they don't use the products from these vendors, but they have full autonomy. But for the most part, principals use our list. Do you accept letters of recommendation? Definitely, if you'd like to include those. And will the accepted vendors be able to present to all schools? No, we usually have over 100 to 120 vendors. It would be impossible to have you all present to schools. If you do get the term agreement, it's totally going to be up to you as a vendor to reach out to schools that you would like to work with. OST has their own process. Leo can explain that in a minute or two. Go ahead, Leo, if you want to explain your process on how you select your vendors.
No, we're gonna work with the team since this is going through the RFP. What we have done this year, we would have the school principals and the Say Yes Family Support Specialists meet with proposed OST providers because we wanted to make sure that the school chose its partners, and then they would come back, and if they were approved, that would be the partner. So our intent for the out-of-school time programming is to have the partners make sure they are engaged with the Say Yes Family Support Specialist and the principal, because we at the district level want to have the principal have a say in the programming that's specific to their specific school culture and students.
Thank you. Does the RFP include summer programming? Yes, it does. Thanks for the clarification. Does the RFP also include pre-K? Yes. You just put that in, definitely. Our pricing is based on a number of students per school, price for over 200 students per grade band. Another one was less. Is there a site where we can find out how many students per grade for each school? We don't have that, no. No, we don't. That would be very difficult. And once again, it fluctuates a lot here. We have lots of transients in and out. So no, we don't have that. If you are already a vendor, you need to submit this RFP. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Because if you're already a vendor, your term agreement is up on June 30th.
Correct.
Thanks, Alex. So becoming an approved vendor does not guarantee our work with particular schools. That is correct. Glenn, the release date for addendum is May 20th. Could we get the formatting questions answered prior to that, Salitha?
Formatting as to what your submittal response. I'm going to try and get an addendum out with this right away. But so maybe if it's the formatting of how to submit your response, then that will come out. But we had the actual date for release as May 20th.
It wasn't it the question that was about the different discrepancy between two different pages and format? I think that was it.
Yes, that was it.
Oh, we can hear you now, Glenn. Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, Salitha, do you need to take a 1 minute break? I could try to address the next. I think we only have two questions left here.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, we'll wait for you if we can. Go ahead. And let me look at the other questions. Maybe Leo and Alex and Jackie and I can answer these questions. If we only want to serve specific schools because we have existing partnerships with them, is this okay? Or would our services be made available to all schools? And if another principal wants to request our services, will we be required? You're never required to provide any services to any schools. I mean, you could definitely, as a vendor, you have that autonomy to choose any school you want to work with. If a principal reaches out to you and you prefer not to work with that specific school, that's definitely your choice. We would never force you to work with the school. Most vendors like, though, to hear from principals, and they're pretty open to it. My organization has participated in CMSD Summer Enrichment Programming in the past. Does this RFP replace that process? That is correct. The RFP, I think we did, the last RFP we did was 2017-18. So yes, that is correct. I have a clarifying question. Earlier when asked about one-year pricing, the answer was no. And when asked again, the answer was yes. I'm sorry, I may have misinterpreted the first question. One-year pricing, I thought you asked, would you put in 1 year? I don't know, Jackie, could you address that one? I'm not sure what Salitha was getting at. I thought the pricing had to cover 3 years.
They're looking for 3 year pricing, but you can break it down for each year, how your pricing, you know, works out each year.
All right.
They're looking for overall for you to stick to your pricing for the 3 year term or whatever you submit for the RFP, right, Salitha? For pricing.
1 year pricing for Salitha. They're confused because I said no, we said no 1 year pricing, and then you did say yes, 1 year pricing. Could you clarify?
The contract is for 3 years. So if you go into if you're looking to go into contract with us, we would like your pricing to be firm for a period of 3 years. We understand that cost changes. And that can be done on a one-on-one basis if that occurs. So make sure that your pricing is, it can be a year's cost, but that cost is going to be the same for the total of the 3 years. So someone I hope asked, that helps.
That helps. Someone asked again, and I'll clarify again. You are correct with your question. This is just to become a vendor with a district. There is no dollar amount that we are guaranteeing that we are going to give you. You would have to be asked to provide services by either a central office programming person or a principal. It's just getting you on the list. So yes, you are correct. Is this a managed award? Gotcha. Does this RFP also replace the CEAP? We've been able to use those funds for busing for our field trips. I don't know what CEAP is. Does anybody know here?
No.
Yeah.
Leo?
The CEAP are the City of Cleveland funds that go to Desiree Powell to the athletics, and she's been using that to supplement programming. I would say that this does not replace the CEAP.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Thank you. Thanks, Leah.
This question's been asked a couple times. I think we just accidentally missed it, Catherine. Is the main initiative to award a vendor who can meet the needs of the OST program?
No, it's for all programming. OST is one of many initiatives we have in the school district. We have several, so no. I am sorry, but can you please share what your approximate English learner emergent bilingual student number is for elementary, middle, and high school? I know we have about 3,550 students district-wide. I don't have it broken down by grade level. Salitha, can we get that to them, or it just fluctuates?
It does.
It fluctuates. I would say I would break that down by bands of 3,500, but that's what we have district-wide. Are you going to break it down by subject area?
No.
No. No. And that's it. Are you happy that we're finishing questions? Any other additional questions or that we have not covered? Salitha, they should reach out to you directly, correct?
That's correct. Salitha.Thompson@ClevelandMetroSchools.org. And that information is in the RFP.
Okay, I just cleared out the chat. Susan Maxwell has one more question, then we'll...
Thank you so much. This was great. I just wanted to ask, so when I meant by subject area, so if you have something supplemental that's specific to math or English language arts, when you put that approved list together, are you going to kind of break it down by, okay, here's supplemental, you know, for phonics or for English language, and then put approved vendors for those areas, and then after school time? And because we could do supplemental for English language arts, but we could also be part of a summer program. So I just wondering how you're going to break those out when you put that approved list together, and how we kind of get approved for all of those different areas.
Well, previously I broke it down by professional development resources, and then those companies that can provide both. So it was very broad, but that's a good question, because I hear what you're saying. That's something I need to discuss with our team and see if we can break it down even further. That is a good question. We kept it very broad in the past. So something for us to think about. Oh, we do have a couple more questions. Please clarify whether core ELA programs are accepted under this RFP. Yes, they are. When is Addendum 1 expected to be released, Salitha?
That I cannot tell you today, but Addendum 1 will be released. If you receive the RFP from me electronically, you will be sent Addendum 1.
Yeah. To confirm again, if you're approved, the principals then choose which product services they would like. That is correct. They have their own funding sources, but you also have central office staff, different offices that will want to utilize your services at the district level. And excellent, thank you. I want to make sure we've covered everything. Anything else before we sign off? Thank you, Salitha.
Thank you.
Leo, Alex, and all of you for joining us. And Salitha, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everyone being on this call. Hopefully it was informative to you and able to answer your questions. We do have some questions that are going to be sent out or the responses thereof sent out in an addendum. If you have any additional questions beyond today, they are due no later than May 16th at 12 o'clock noon. An addendum will be sent out with those questions and responses no later than May 20th. I will be sending out an addendum before May 20th, to get some things clarified that needed to be clarified during this meeting. What date, I'm not sure. I don't want to give you a date and it's not there because I may have to go back and get some things confirmed within the departments. The responses are due no later than May 27th at 1:00 p.m. Thank you for coming.
Wait, Salitha, I'm so sorry. Somebody just said that she did not receive the RFP. Her name's Bethany Montero. Can we guarantee we'll get the addendum and be on the email list?
Yes, please email me your information.
Perfect. And Susan Maxwell, one more quick question.
I'm sorry, I just have one more quick question. I appreciate it. Should we put out, like, if we cover certain things like dyslexia or we cover OTES 2.0, if we have those things within our products that cover things that are required by the state, do you want us to point those out?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, the more information, the better. Definitely.
Thank you so much.
It'll help us out. Okay. Thank you.
No other questions? All right. Thanks, all right. Thank you everyone for joining us today.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Diana. Bye. Thanks, Jack.